One of the great tragedies in the Christian world today is that most of us who claim to be Christians are spectators.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Grace Christian Assembly, formerly Germantown Christian Assembly, in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. With the chaos in the world at large shaking the ground beneath our feet, this is not the coming of God's judgment. It is a wake-up call to God's people. In this day, many people are desperate to see what an authentic Christian actually looks like. So this shaking is a call to God's people to return to the centrality of the gospel and Christ-like priorities and be the light in the gathering darkness God intends us to be. So this evening, Pastor Brian Grant will continue his mini-series with three more characteristics that empower and authenticate the authentic Christian. Here now is Pastor Grant with the first part of What Authentic Christianity Looks Like, Part 2.
When it was commissioned in 1936, the Queen Mary was the most magnificent ship ever built up to that time. It carried 2,000 passengers in total luxury. It was 4 football fields long and weighed 81,000 tons. That's way back in 1936. 81,000 tons, making it twice the weight of the Titanic. On one of her trips from Jamaica, for the Jamaican government, one of the reasons I'm a Queen Mary fan, my mom had the pleasure of sailing on the Queen Mary from England to New York. And when she came back, she shared so many amazing stories about her voyage on the Queen Mary that the first time Cheryl and I visited Los Angeles, we made sure to visit the Queen Mary, which was now retired and docked in Long Beach. I think it may still be there. And if you're there, it's worth a visit to see what it was like to sail in one of these graceful ships of that generation. But I tell you, despite its beauty and grandeur, shortly after it was retired from passenger service, they discovered that the gleaming exterior had hidden something very serious. For when the massive smokestacks were removed for maintenance, they discovered that the thick steel behind them was totally rusted. The ship's beautiful external appearance had hidden the reality that important parts of the ship were actually crumbling. Can you imagine that? Sadly, something similar is happening to the church in America. For despite the growth in the megachurch, the sad truth is that there's not only a significant decline in Christianity, but there's also a dramatic shift from authentic Christianity. And so today I'd like to share part 2 of a message I started last time, which I thought was a single message on the subject. But today I want to share part 2 of this message, which I've entitled, What Authentic Christianity Looks Like. For unless we get back to authentic Christianity, the church's impact will continue its dramatic decline. Mahatma Gandhi, and I thank Brother Jim for mentioning this, Mahatma Gandhi, the man credited with leading India to independence, was once so attracted to Christianity, he spent many years studying the Christian faith. We may or may not realize that. But Gandhi, who led India to independence, was greatly attracted to the Christian faith, and he spent years studying the Bible. But when he was asked why he never became a Christian, listen to this. When Gandhi was asked why he did not become a Christian, Gandhi replied, "The reason I never became a Christian is because I met too many Christians." I hope you got that. Gandhi did not become a Christian because he met too many Christians. Gandhi turned away from Christianity because the lifestyle of the Christians he met was significantly different from what he had expected from reading the message of Jesus. My friends, this is a real tragedy. For too often, stay with me now, and if you're listening on the radio or you're watching online, stay with me, because too often, the lifestyle of some of us who claim to be Christians is not consistent with the message of Christ. What the Bible has to say and how we live has absolutely no correlation. We claim to be Christians, but our lifestyle is totally different from what the Bible has to say. So we need to ask ourselves, are people being drawn to Christ by my life and by my witness? Does my life reflect that I am an authentic Christian? The disciples were first called Christians at Antioch because people realized by their life and by their witness that these people were authentic followers of Christ. People watched the disciples and they called them Christians because they were Christ's ones. Amen. Everybody could see that in their lifestyle. Teenager, young adult, older person, can people watching you recognize that you have been with Jesus? Can they say that you are living an authentic Christian life? Might this be true of each of us? Amen. In part one of this message, I focus on the outreach of authentic Christians. And I shared three things which I have in your notes, and you can follow me along. I focus on the outreach, and I share, number one, that authentic Christians passionately love outsiders and sinners. Authentic Christians passionately love outsiders and sinners. So if you have no time for a sinner, don't claim that you're an authentic Christian. Sometimes we believe authentic Christians are those who follow a whole book of rules. But one of the important things in the life of every authentic, if we're really authentic, we must be passionately loving outsiders and sinners. Why? Because God loves every sinner. Amen. Aren't you glad God loves sinners? Some of you are not sure now that you're saved, but I want to tell you, if God didn't love a sinner, you wouldn't have had a chance, because you are just a sinner like the rest of us. Amen. Authentic Christians passionately love outsiders and sinners. Here's the second thing we covered the last time. Authentic Christians passionately pursue wayward sheep. I shared with you the importance of our never giving up on backsliders. Just because somebody is saved and they have wandered away, don't give up on them, amen? Because God does not give up on wayward sheep. Oh, I know sometimes I run into parents and grandparents whose hearts are broken and they're worried about their child or their grandchild and great-grandchildren, and they're wondering if that's the end. I just encourage them to stay in the course and to stay on their knees, because listen, God has not given up on your wayward child, and you had better not give up either. Amen. But here's the third thing we said last time. Authentic Christians passionately pursue lost souls. One of the great tragedies in the Christian world today is that most of us who claim to be Christians are spectators. It's brothers and sisters, it's time to get up off of the bench. And when you get up off of the bench in church, make a commitment to get into the world and spread the message of Christ. Listen, because authentic Christians passionately pursue lost souls. Make sure you don't miss that. If you're not one of those who's pursuing lost souls, don't claim to be a really authentic Christian, because this is central to the message of Christ. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. That was the Great Commission that was given to every believing Christian. Authentic Christians must passionately pursue lost souls. Each one must seek by the grace of God to reach one. Are you involved in reaching one, or are you just keeping the bench nice and warm? Today, I'd like to share three additional things as we focus on the lifestyle of authentic Christians. Here's the fourth thing I want you to add to your notes. Authentic Christians elevate the Word of God over human opinion. Authentic Christians elevate the Word of God over human opinion. I'm picking up at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, and I'm going to read from verse 14 to verse 21. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a deserted place and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." Most of us know the story, but Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "What? We have only 5 loaves and 2 fish. Of course, remember that came from a little boy, okay? 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, "Bring it here to me. Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children." Isn't that amazing? In these verses, Jesus did some awesome things. He had taken a little boy's lunch of 5 loaves and 2 fish and caused it to multiply so it was able to feed 5,000 men plus women and children with 12 baskets of fragments left over. More was left over than they had started with. Can you imagine that? You start and feed 5,000 men. The Bible makes clear it's telling you men. And if you well know that if 5,000 men are there, sisters, you know you'd be there too, right? 5,000 men plus women and children. What a crowd that was. Man, I tell you, our God is certainly an awesome God. Amen. Are you glad you know him? Are you glad this awesome God is your God? Listen, young people, those of you who are going to college, you're going to run into some tough situations, but I want you to know you don't have to give up on our God, because our God is an awesome God. He can keep you no matter the drama you find yourself in. You can stand for him no matter what the professor may say. Hallelujah. Remember, my teacher in high school used to tell me, he was teaching me Bible knowledge for all things. And this reverend minister, he told us that the Bible, it has the Word of God, but it's not the Word of God. But for you can't really depend on the Bible. And I had to say, even though I didn't know very much at the time, but one thing I knew, that this is the Word of the living God. Amen. I can plant my feet on this solid rock, amen. I can live according to the words of this book. And young people, hold fast to the Bible. The enemy is going to try and toss all sorts of tornadoes, trying to get you to give up the focus on this book. And anytime you give up this book, you are in trouble. Because if you don't have the Bible, what are you living on? What are you standing on? What authority are you following? But thank God for the authoritative word of the living God. Amen. Authentic Christians elevate the Word of God over human opinion. What a mighty God we serve. And I just want to say, there may be a storm raging in your life. You can rest assured that he's able to keep you anchored in every storm. Oh, some of you have lost loved ones. Some of you are going through issues that nobody knows about, he and you alone, but keep anchored to Jesus. But there's more in this passage, so I don't want to get stuck right there, because look at verse 34 of chapter 14 of Matthew. Because in verse 34, it says here, when they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret, and when the men of that place recognized him, they sent out into all the region, surrounding region, brought to him all who were sick and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garments. And as many as touched it were made perfectly well. Amen. But I think I jumped over an entire section that I wanted to talk about. Did you notice that? I jumped over verses 22. We can't miss out 22. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves. The disciples were out there in the boat, tossed by the waves. The wind was contrary. Many of you have been with us to the Holy Land, have been on the Sea of Galilee. And you're well aware from what the experts tell us while we're there, that these storms can arise suddenly. There is no warning a storm is coming. And suddenly a raging storm comes up. Well, that's what happened. They left when everything was going okay. By the time they got into the middle of the sea, it was raging. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Wow, you probably would have fainted, wouldn't you? Must be a ghost. This couldn't be a real person walking on the sea. No, but it was really Jesus. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, just like you would have said, it's a ghost! It's a ghost! And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the circumstances of his life, if I may ad lib, when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. I wonder what's going on in your life that's causing you to be afraid. What drama are you experiencing? What wind? What turmoil? I want you to know that Jesus is fully in charge of every wind, of every turmoil that we will ever face. So they were beginning to sink, and they cried, oh Lord, save me. And sometime when things are so tough, we feel like we are sinking. You're probably right there. Some of you are there right now. You feel like you're sinking because there's so much stuff going on and you have no answers and you're feeling like giving up. And I'm here to tell you by this morning, don't give up. Hold on to Jesus. Amen. He cried out, Lord, save me. You don't have to shout too loud in your house and wake up the neighbors. But you can shout from your heart to God, from the depths of your soul, no matter what is going on in your life. So too often we are following everything else. We're listening to this guru and that guru and this doctor. Listen, go to the physicians. Don't get me wrong. But at the end of the day, there's no one like my Jesus. Amen. There's no one with power like my Jesus. And at the end of the day, what we need to do is to cry out to him, Lord, help me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him. And said to him, oh, you have little faith, why did you doubt? Amen. When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Are you glad you know him? Are you glad he's your savior? Are you glad he's your rock? Thank God we can turn to him. Oh, I thank God, you know, sometimes preachers preach and they've never had tough experiences. I'm so thankful. Yes, you say, are you really? Yes, I'm thankful for all the drama I've gone through. I'm thankful today that I can preach confidently and with authority based on the word of God because of all the tough times I have passed through. But my anchor held because Jesus held me. Amen. He held me in his hands. And I want to encourage you, my friend, he will do the same for you, because I'm not anything special other than that I know Jesus. Amen. What a friend we have in Jesus. I better make sure I don't get sidetracked from what I want to talk about this morning. But what a friend we have in Jesus. Have you ever sat down and pondered that? Have you ever sat down and pondered how wonderful it is to have Jesus as your friend, that he's your personal friend, that you can turn to him in all the drama of life, and that he is willing to take time, teenager, he's willing to take time to listen to your little prayer. I don't know if it came up at the Young Adults Fellowship on Friday night. We were telling them about, you know, back when we were young, we had what they call a party line telephone. Anybody ever know what's a party line telephone? You ever heard of it? In a party line telephone, for you young people, so we all have these phones, and several of us have the same line. So when I call, pick up my phone and I call Cheryl. If I were to call Cheryl to try and say a little love words to her, lo and behold, somebody else is on the phone. And so I'd have to say to them, if I want to make my call, I'd have to say, would you please hang up? So before my call can go through, that person has to hang up. Did you know that that's how some of the phones would work? So we had a party line phone. I didn't have one. I could call her anytime. She may have had one though, so I'd have been in trouble anyhow. But here's the point I'm saying. When you reach out to Jesus, you don't have to worry that he's tied up because of a party line. Amen. You don't have to ask anybody to hang up. Hallelujah. We can go straight through to Dr. Jesus, and we can make a request known to him. And the God who, the one who we have spoken to in secret will reward us openly. Hallelujah. What a friend we have in Jesus. Don't ever let go of your Jesus. May we, by God's grace, seek to grow in grace. Listen, there's nothing our powerful, majestic Savior cannot do. But here's the big thing I wanted to point out. Jesus had walked on water in a storm, fed thousands with 7 loaves and a few fish. But despite these amazing things, people quickly forgot how great our God is. So follow this story and see what happens next. Flip the page now and Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 1. Now, just remember what just had happened. And Matthew 15, then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. Say what? Is that all on your mind?
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.